Welcome, comedy fans, to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, Vinny Paulino, and joining me today for episode number 137, Gina Brillion. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, do good things and always be kind. Let's get this show started. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. My guest today has made appearances on America's Got Talent, The Conners on ABC, HBO Max's Ha Festival, The Art of Comedy, and she's also fresh off her latest one-hour special, which is now available on Amazon Prime. It's titled The Floor is Lava. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, the Bronx's own, Gina Brillion.
And the crowd goes wild.
Welcome. We're so glad to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is going to be a fun weekend. We've got five shows, ladies and gentlemen. Tickets are on sale right now, carlsoncomedy.com. Gina, your special won some awards, didn't it?
It did. I won a Gracie Award, which is a big honor in the industry. I didn't know about the Gracies until I won one, and they were like, yeah, this is actually a big deal. And I was like, oh, wow. And it actually just came in the mail, so I'm going to take a picture with it, and I'm going to do, like, a whole video, because I was, like, really excited. Now yeah. I can say my award-winning special on Amazon, The Floor is Lava.
That's it?
Yeah. And then I was nominated for an Imagen Award. I didn't win, but One Day at a Time did, and I have some friends on that show, so I was very happy for the show. Okay. And it was cool that it was an honor just to be nominated. Like, now I can say that. It was an honor just to be nominated.
Well, you did win a little bit of gold, so
yeah,
no shame in your game.
You know.
No shame in the game. Now, I want to compliment you on your special and actually personally thank you.
Thank
because
you.
Now I understand why people have been calling me Gordito for so many years.
Oh, my gosh. The nicknames that Spanish people will give you are the most disrespectful nicknames. I'm telling you, they will take your flaw and they will magnify it by 10.
Like, I used to work with a guy who always used to refer to me as Gordito,
and I had
no idea what it was until your special. And I went, I was sitting in my house watching, going, hey.
Hey, I thought that was a term of endearment. They lied to me.
He was calling me a fat little boy.
Yes.
I do have a Care Bear behind me, so I guess that's fine.
I guess that's an acceptable.
I welcome the comparisons. So it really is nice to meet you. You have multiple specials out right now, which is pretty wild.
It's, you know what? I very rarely ever take a chance to, like, step back and, like, look at the work I've done. And then, like, recently I was doing an interview, and just in that interview I kind of sat back and I was like, oh, wow, I've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
I would say
like,
so.
Wow. I was like, I'm pretty impressed with myself just for that moment. And then I was like, all right, back to work. Like,
right.
That's enough.
Well, that's an interesting mentality to have. And I don't blame you for feeling that way at all. But you should stop and smell the roses a little bit more there,
yeah.
Gina.
You know what? I haven't even totally digested the whole AGT thing yet. But
yeah.
I've always been that kind of person that's like, what's next? What's the next thing? Like, I appreciate it and I'm grateful, but what's the next thing? But I think taking some time to really sit in that, I'm trying to do that a lot more.
Now, that's a very different type of set to prepare than doing just regular stand-up. I mean, when you're preparing for a televised performance, it's got to be a little bit nerve-wracking, but you've done it apparently quite well a few times. So how were you feeling going into that competition?
You know, I'm not a competitive person.
Okay.
I'm more that person that's like, I want everybody to win. Like, I'm that person that's like, I just want everybody to feel loved and special. And so the competition aspect always makes me feel a little bit uneasy because
sure.
I don't like putting performers against each other because it's already so hard.
Right.
You know?
And comedy is one of those things people say it all the time and it's said way too much. It's subjective.
100%.
It could all be great. But if you're sitting in a situation where they're just like, pick one,
yeah,
it's never fair.
No, because it's like, well, I like what this person did, but I also like what this person did. And I think that person's funny, but that person would be great in a movie. Like, you're just, especially if you're watching it and, like, you're a comedy nerd like myself.
Right.
Like, the two other comics on the show, Josh and Kabir, I love them both.
Right.
I really do. I think they're both phenomenal human beings and great performers. So when I was sharing the stage with them, it was, one, it was an honor. And two, it was a little bit weird to have to be like, okay, but we're in competition with each other and we don't want to be like, it almost feels like, didn't we all work together last week for some reason or the next? Like,
right.
Why are we now competing on this show? But none of us looked at it like with that kind of competitive, like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to murder you. I'm going to do better than you. We were all like, hey, let's just get past this 2 minutes and then see what happens.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing that you have to do, I think, with AGT, because not for nothing, it's the new Tonight Show.
Yeah.
It's that thing that's going to get you seen more so than any other media
out
there.
So many eyes are on you. It's insane.
Yeah. So let's be real for a second here. Let's drop this. I want everybody to win. Who is your least favorite judge and why? Go.
I don't know. I had a least favorite judge because I don't feel like I knew them. The only person I really met was Howie, because all the interactions with the judges were just me on stage talking to them. We never had any personal interactions with them. I did love the fact that I got Simon to eat his words, though. I'm not going to lie. I love the fact that he was like, I watched the show again and I was wrong for what I said. And I was like, yeah, I got Simon to say he was wrong. Like, I was like, I win.
That is a not a lot of people could say they've done that.
Right?
So.
That was a shining moment.
Shall we add that to that list of accomplishments
could
for you?
Could you add
now?
That? Just put that there.
We'll put that into the notes.
Cut
here right
Simon
now.
Cowell to admit he was wrong.
Now, I find it very interesting when you tell me that you're not a competitive person. You're a twin.
I know. It's weird. Like, I don't think me or my sister are competitive. The only time I was competitive was like one time in high school where my favorite teacher told me that it was like me and this other girl were up to get like 100 in his class, and I was like, I'm gonna bury her. I was like, that's it. And I just did all the extra credit. That was the only time I was ever competitive where I felt competitive. But me and my sister, no, we don't like the same type of guys. We've never really been competitive in the same things. Like, she's hilariously funny. She's very dark and sarcastic.
Where did she place in AGT?
I'm just gonna sip my water on that one. Well, according to some people that get us confused all the time, she was also in the top 10.
Well, that's amazing. Congratulations to her.
Yeah, a lot of people just get a lot of stuff. Somebody called my, was on a phone call with my agent, and, you know, my name came up, and the person on the phone was like, didn't she just win AGT? And I was like,
is that what you think happened?
did you make that up yourself? Are you calling from another dimension? Is that where you're calling from? Did I win in that dimension? Because that's amazing.
I'm moving there. Now, you started stand-up at 17. That's pretty young. That's pretty young. And one of the things that I read about you, which I thought was fascinating, is that one of your influences was Brett Butler.
Yeah.
I love Brett Butler.
Thank you for being one of the few people that actually know the name, because I say the name and you just, like, it's crickets from people. And I'm like, Brett Butler Sold Out was the first comedy special that I watched.
Yeah.
And I just
talk
sat
about
there.
A real comic too.
Oh, I mean, she was at 14 years old. I watched Brett's special. So the trajectory was like this. I watched Brett's special at 14 and immediately it clicked in me. I said, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. Immediately I fell in love with comedy. And then like a month after that, I had seen George Lopez, and I just remember watching George and being like blown away by him. I was like, he's different from any other Latin comic I had seen, from any other comic I had seen. He was funny and likable and silly, but smart. And it just lit a fire in me. I saw Brett and it made me love comedy. And then I saw George and this fire was lit in me that just solidified. I was like, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I've never felt that about anything.
Well, congratulations. So far, so good.
Yeah, so far.
so far, so good.
Including working with George. So that was incredible.
Well, I mean, it's wild when you get to meet your heroes.
I told George this story. I was so nervous. One time I was at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles. My buddy had said, hey, George Lopez is going to come by and do a set. Why don't you come by? And we'll go. It was me and my buddy Eric and my girlfriend Sam. And I'm sitting there like a kid and I'm watching him, and I've got my hands in my face like this. And I'm watching like a little girl. And then my buddy goes, well, you know, he's going to come up here like after his set. He'll come up to the green room and, you know, say hi and hang. And I was like, we have to leave immediately. And he was like, why? And I was like, because I can't feel my legs. You just said that. And I can't breathe. We got to go. I'm going to be a nerd. I can't. So we left the club. And because I knew I was going to meet him that night and I couldn't handle it. And so when the show came around, what had happened was everybody was being paired with a celebrity.
Okay.
Right? For the finale show. It wasn't going to affect the votings because it was going to happen way after the votings. But everybody was going to get to do a cool thing. yep. with like some celebrities. Uh-huh. And at first it was supposed to be me and Gabe, Gabriel Iglesias, who I've worked with before.
Yep.
But Gabe's schedule was nuts. You know, he's back out on tour. Sure. They were going to fly me to Vegas to do it. I had my son with me. I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So they tried to pair me with Sophia. Her schedule was crazy. She couldn't do it, right?
Right.
Almost as a joke, I said, has anyone contacted George Lopez? And they were like, oh, yeah, we'll reach out. Like, a couple of hours later, my
George,
manager,
hold on. He's in the coffee room.
Where are you going to go back there? He's been here the whole time. My manager texts me.
Actually, he's on the call. George, are you there?
Right? He's already said yes, Gina. Welcome to AGT. And so my manager texted me and was like, George confirmed you're going to be on a call tomorrow to discuss logistics of everything that's going to go down. And I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, there's no way. So my phone rings and I'm like, this is it. This is the call. This is going to be like the big team of people. And they're going to, you know, give me all of George's notes. And it was George himself. He called me straight from his phone. I pick up the phone and he goes, hey, this is George. And I'm like,
you would have been less surprised if it was Carlin.
I know. I was like, hi, this is Gina. He's like, I know, I called you. I'm like, oh no. Right, yeah. So we start like talking and I tell him my stupid idea because I was so nervous. I didn't know what to say. And he was like, no, you're going to shave my head. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He goes, yeah, you're going to shave my head on AGT. You're shaving my head. It's going to be great. The clip will go viral. Everybody will love it. Everybody's talking about my hair now. Never asked if I used clippers before. Never asked if I cut anybody's hair before.
It's rude to assume, right?
I was like, sir, I have never used a pair of clippers in my life. So I had the lovely hair and makeup people at the hair guy at AGT literally showed me how to use clippers the day before.
Did they have on standby? Like they used to have the animal people on standby? Like if there was like
he was definitely
a monkey
around.
That got out of control?
He was definitely around and he was like, just go slow. Because I was afraid that when we tried it in rehearsal, his hair, we didn't do it with the real clippers, obviously, sure. But his hair was like, he had some product in it. And I was like, I feel like it's going to get pulled. And he was like, just go slow. So when you see it on the show, I did not expect the clippers to glide that fast. So like my genuine reaction is on the show to the clippers going through his hair that fast. I was like, oh God. And then I just kept going and going and going. And then they fixed it up for him in the back. But I really cut his hair on AGT.
That's wild.
It was nuts. And it was all his idea.
What a weird full circle moment in your life, right?
I mean, I was so incredibly nervous to meet him. And he was the sweetest, most humble. Like, this man has no idea the impact he's had on the comedy world for someone like me or for younger generations who see him and are just blown away by the he got his foot in the door.
Yeah.
Sitcom, special after special, tour after tour. And it was just phenomenal to meet him and to work with him.
All right, well then you and I need to talk about sitcoms and your foot in the door.
Yes.
Because it feels like you got a toe or two.
I got a toe
in the precipice.
Or two. And there's things in the works.
See, I knew it. I actually would have put money on this with these guys earlier. I was talking in the studio. You were on The Conners.
Yeah.
You were on Kevin Can Wait.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on a couple of shows. Your own sitcom's the goal, right?
Yes. I mean, a sitcom's been the goal for the longest time. When I was...
Do you need a fat white friend?
I always need a friend.
For the show, good.
I always need a friend.
Okay, good.
Some great comic timing.
Good. I don't know if I could be there for you as a friend.
It seems like you're good, though.
We could be friends.
Did you watch a lot of sitcoms growing up? Because I watched like all the comedian-based sitcoms.
Well, Grace Under Fire was a great one.
And I rewatched it.
That's how I first knew who she was.
Yes.
And then I found out she was a comedian later. We're talking about Brett Butler, for those of you who are watching. Yes. Looking to go back. She had a sitcom which was very brave. It was one of the bravest shows on television.
I'm
I don't think
you,
people realize
it's on Amazon Prime. Go back and watch it. You will realize the strides they were making at that time in a sitcom like that, because what I loved about that sitcom was it had real moments. Similar to Roseanne, when Roseanne was in the early stages of Roseanne, where it was like about this family that didn't have a lot of money. Stuff didn't always go great for them. And here was Brett Butler fleeing from an abusive ex, taking her children to a safer place, trying to rebuild her life. And she's funny and sarcastic. She's not your typical victim.
Yeah.
You know, she has her issues, but she's kind of like pulling herself up from the bootstraps and trying to start over again. And it's this story of this phoenix rising from the ashes. And it's a wonderful story with a wonderful, wonderful cast of people.
Amazing cast. Dave Thomas was on that show. Lots of great people. So check out Grace Under Fire if you haven't.
Yeah.
It's a great sitcom. But I'm with you. Roseanne was also one of those sitcoms that I loved. And so, like, doing the Conners, that's got to be amazing.
Oh, my God. So my first day on set, I'm so tired. I flew in the day, I think it was the day of, like, the table read.
Right.
So I'm sitting there at the table read, and I'm like, you know, everybody's slowly coming in, and I'm seeing some of my favorite people and trying not to freak out. I have such a girl crush on Melissa Gilbert, by the way.
Sure.
I have such a girl crush on her. And she's so lovely. She's so lovely.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard nothing but good things about her.
She's so sweet. And so I'm so sleepy, and we break, and, like, you know, Michael Fishman comes up to me. Yep. Michael plays DJ and has played DJ since the first show. Like, since the first show, he's been DJ. And he walks up to me.
One of the two children that hasn't been replaced.
Exactly. And he's like, hey, my name's Michael. If you need anything, please let me know. If you need to know something about on set. And I'm so tired. All I can think in my head is, oh, my God, DJ's talking to me. And I couldn't speak because I was like, DJ's talking to me right now. Does he know he's DJ? I know he's DJ. And I'm like, I'm so tired. I can't say it. I was like, don't say DJ.
Did you go, thanks, DJ?
I really wanted to, but I was like, oh, thanks so much. But later on, we had become, like, really close, and I even had him on my podcast. And I told him that story later on. I said, the whole time you were talking to me, I was like, oh, my God, DJ's talking to me. And he started laughing. He's just so sweet. Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Sorry, we have my own little man.
Oh, that's right. You are on the road with this guy this weekend.
Yes.
That's Jaden, everybody.
That's Jaden. This is my little one, Jaden. This is my emotional support baby.
Uh-huh,
I bring him wherever I can.
You want to take a full shot of the emotional support? There you go. There he is. Hey, Jaden, how are you, pal?
He's like, just inspecting, making sure my mom's okay.
I love how Mark Ippolito's the babysitter today.
Mark, by the way, is the baby handler right now.
He really is, and he almost just caused the baby its eye on that thing, oh, so just be careful.
Oh, no.
They're not wrapped in bubble wrap, Ippolito. Be careful.
We're best friends.
Let's talk about stand-up for a minute here. I have some listener questions we're going to get to in just a second. This is your last chance, ladies and gentlemen, who are watching this live, to win tickets to see Gina tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. You can text in your questions, 585-484-0265 right now. We're getting to those in a second, and if I use your question, you're going to the show. So,
beautiful.
Now, let's talk about your style of stand-up.
Yes.
Because I have thoughts.
Thoughts. I'm open to thoughts, yes.
You are very disarming on stage. I think it's a wonderful way to put it. You are. Because the jokes and the punchlines are very, very strong. And you don't see
Thank
them
you.
Coming. Because you disguise them very, very well. Yeah, you are kind of... you should do an evil laugh for that.
The evil laugh there. Like,
how important is it to you to walk up and disarm an audience?
Well, I think my favorite thing is that... And then most important is that everybody have that sigh of relief, because I feel like when you start a show, everybody's tense. Like, they don't know how it's going to go. They don't, like, am I going to laugh? Is this person going to be funny? Are they going to make fun of me? And I love when you get that first laugh. And this is, I think, for anybody who's done comedy before, that first laugh puts everyone at ease.
Yep.
It's that, oh, okay, we're in a safe space. Like, we're all in a, we can laugh and have fun, and nobody's judging me for laughing at that. Everybody laughed at the same moment.
Yeah.
And it just kind of opens up and relaxes the audience. And that's, I love having a really conversational style. It was always my favorite types of comics that were just conversational, where it felt like they really sucked you in. And you were just sitting there like, oh my God, I want to be this person's friend. And that's the best feeling.
And you translate that very well into your specials, which is something I think is very, very hard to do.
It is.
Any tips on how you would prepare material that you're used to performing, like, say, in a more intimate setting to a larger televised venue?
You know, you wouldn't think that there's a difference, but there really is a difference.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned, and going back to Simon, this is what I think, why I think Simon ate his words. When I had done my first late night set, one of my friends told me, when you're performing, don't perform for the audience that's there only. You're performing for them, which is great, but you have to perform to the people that are watching.
Right.
So you have to look into the camera and you have to perform it as if those people are sitting in the audience with you. And that's the best way to make those people at home feel like they're part of this live show that you're filming. And it really makes it a special thing. And it's such a simple thing, and you don't think it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. But what Simon was talking about when he said I looked nervous for the performance was my ability to look directly at the camera but not focus on the judges. I wasn't looking at the judges. So Simon thought I wasn't looking at them because I was nervous. Mm-hmm. But when he was watching the show...
What an ego test, huh?
It really is.
She was not looking at me while the show was going on.
You should have been looking at us and making eye contact. That shows confidence. But then when he watched it...
just rolled into my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you watch it at home and you're like... oh my, it feels like she's looking right at me. I'm like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do when you have to perform for a camera. Yep. You know, you're not looking directly at the camera, so it looks like you're, you know, performing for the camera. You're looking almost through the camera. And it's like, I just need to look in the direction of the camera as if I was looking at another audience member.
Well, I think that's some really solid advice. When whoever's watching this, when your day comes and you film your special.
Yeah.
Talk to the camera.
Talk to the camera. Don't ignore the cameras. Don't act like they're not there. You know, obviously the ones on the sides are there. You know, occasionally you'll see comics acknowledge them. I think it was a John Mulaney special where one of the cameras got too close, or where he was like, he had to tell him to back up a little bit, and they kept it in the special. But it was great, though. It was great to acknowledge it. So, yeah, that's one of the things I feel like when you're performing on TV, that also makes it less nerve-wracking.
I feel like the misconception has always been that, like, the way that people think about, like, a live music performance, like, we're just capturing the vibe of what was happening that night. Stand up, when you're presenting it, it's a different animal than live music.
And 100%. You can't look at it as the same. Even when I'm on a show like AGT and with such phenomenal performers and singers, it's like, yeah, they don't... That's why it was hard for me to look at it as a competition. To me, it was more of a showcase because I'm like, we're all different. How can you compare me to a quick change artist? We don't do the same thing.
Sure. Well, and I mean, and it, when you look at the different acts, they're all presented differently.
Yes.
Different things have a different presentation, and stand-up comedy has to be presented in front of the live audience.
Yes.
With no other distractions, just the person. Maybe the shots to the crowd reacting, but you don't want to also, you want to make sure you see the person's face while they're delivering the jokes. And It's a really hard thing that they do with that show. I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah. They're pros, man. Everything ran really smoothly. I was really shocked with all the new COVID rules, how smooth everything ran. But it was great.
Well, I want to take a second and acknowledge everybody who sent in their text messages today. Thank you so much for all of your questions. I'm going to go with two of them here. Beautiful. This one came in from Kevin. And this is actually a really, really good question along the lines of what we're talking about. How do you treat getting back to headlining after your specials drop? Do you just keep going and build new material on the road before it comes out? Or do you drop it and then stay in your home city for a while, building a new hour before going out again?
Usually, great question, Kevin.
It is a good question,
Kevin. You must know a lot about comedy.
He's a nerd.
I love comedy nerds. I absolutely love comedy nerds.
He's all right.
Essentially, what you want to do is take a little bit from the special. Usually what I'll try to do is, once you drop a special, you've already been working on new material. Because that special, once you film it, it doesn't air for a while. So now you have a few months to build up new material before your special airs. Now you're still building it when the special airs. Yeah. Especially, particularly with The Floor is Lava, I was still building, you know, the next special or the next thing once The Floor is Lava came out. But then COVID hit, so I couldn't tour or work on anything or do anything except for sit home and write.
Right.
And so then there was Zoom shows and outdoor shows, and, you know, you try to do that. But essentially, you take a little bit from your special because people, it's like going to see Santana. You want to see their favorite, you know, your favorite song, but they'll save it till the end, you
Absolutely.
Know? So every now and then I'll throw in something from, like, The Floor is Lava, but it's been such a crazy I've had so much time. I mean, there was a pandemic. I had a baby. I did a big show. Like, there's so much to talk about now.
So are you saying that those folks who are coming to see you this weekend at Comedy at the Carl Center are going to be treated to a whole bunch of great new material?
Yes, they are.
Hell yeah.
That I'm excited for. And there's more to come. You know, it's not... There's a lot of mom stuff because that's a big part of my life, but it's Absolutely. Also just me talking about life in general. The people that I feel like I can, I think they can relate because we all went through this global crazy situation.
Absolutely.
You know, so I always look forward to working out the new stuff. It's the scariest part of it, but.
But it's what keeps it fresh, isn't it?
Exactly. Yep. It's what keeps it exciting. It's why comedy is so difficult. It's because you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's because you grow and you change. With your life, your material changes.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think it's the best part of it, honestly, is experimenting with new stuff. But yeah, you take a little bit of it. You don't fully throw it out, but...
The words of a true artist, ladies and gentlemen. Now, another listener question came in. This one came in from Sydney, and this is a great question. And then I'm going to rephrase part of this because I want to add something onto it. What's your best advice for women who want to get into stand-up comedy? Let's say you had to start over right now. It's 2021 and you want to get on stage for the first time. What are you doing, Gina?
Oof. One piece of advice I always start with is not just for women. I have like particular advice for women in comedy, which is watch your back. Don't be alone with any male comics you don't know. Keep going even when it gets tough.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell comics that, or anybody that wants to start comedy, the most important thing is that that stage become your home. Not your second home. That stage has to become your home. It has to be the place where you feel the most comfortable being that part of you. Because every comic that you see on stage, that's not, that you're getting a piece of who they are.
Right.
You know, and it's a very sacred piece of who they are. So, you have to be at your most confident, at your just your best self up there. It has to feel like this is my home. This is my stage. When I take that stage, that's my home. The audience is now in my home. Yeah. So I'm welcoming you into my home, which I think creates more of a, hey, friends, environment.
Yep.
And it just makes everybody feel more comfortable. But when you're starting out, stage time is the most important. And not only for material, but to get over any nerves you might have, to build up your confidence, all of that. Yeah. You have to get on stage. And for women in particular, all the advice is always the stuff that happens off stage. Don't be afraid to put your dignity before stage time.
Agreed.
You know, I've even recently had a friend of mine hit me up and she said, well, I was supposed to go on the road with this guy, but, you know, all of a sudden he said there's only one hotel room and we'd have to share. And I said, say no. Say no to the gig. Or pay for your own hotel room. It's that. It's either or. Yeah. Don't share a room with somebody when all of a sudden last minute, oh, now there's no hotel room available for you. Don't, if your gut tells you don't trust the situation, don't trust the situation. If you're uncomfortable, don't go.
One of the worst experiences of my life was I was on the road with one of my very best friends in comedy. And we showed up to a gig and they're like, there's only one. Worst experience of my life. I quit the gig and I drove home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stay in a room with him.
Well, that's the thing. Anybody who makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. It was Brian Ball. People who watch the show know who it was. I did not want to share a room with Brian Ball. Vile.
I actually got to the point where I would tell like male comics if I was hanging out with them and I didn't know them. I'd say, look, we're cool. We could all hang. But if I feel uncomfortable at any point, I'm going to punch you in the face.
There it is.
And... they'd be like, haha, and I'd be like, no, I'm serious. If I feel uncomfortable, if you make me feel uncomfortable, I'm going to punch you in the face, and I'm dead serious. So just don't make me feel uncomfortable, and we'll all be cool. Don't disrespect me, and everything will be fine.
And I hope everyone lived happily ever after?
Most of them.
Okay.
Most of them, but sometimes you got to take that attitude of like, this is, I'm setting the boundary now so that you know nothing is going on that is not professional.
Yep. That's some really good advice. That's some very good advice, folks. So, Sydney and Kevin, congratulations to both of you. You won some tickets. You are going to come see Gina Friday night at 9 o'clock. Make sure you say hello. And we will make sure your names are at the door so you can come and get your tickets. We'll shoot you a text message back so you know what's going on. Now, Gina, I want to thank you so much for coming in today. But before we leave, my last question for you is, why should everyone drop what they're doing and come see you this weekend?
Oh, man. It's
hard. Go get them. Tell them why.
It's really hard to describe how much fun the show is going to be. One, the lineup, I'm working with two of my favorite people.
Okay.
My buddy Kevin Dombrowski is hosting, and he is hilarious and fun and wonderful. And my best friend James is featuring. And being able to bring my own people out here and set up the show the way that I would do it, you know, anywhere, you know, that I'm allowed to. You guys have no idea the vibe that sets up. Like, it is such a fun, crazy show with three completely different personality types that somehow mesh well together. And there's a cool thing at the end of the show that you're not going to want to miss.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the tickets are on sale right now. CarlsonComedy.com. You could get them. Come see Gina Brillion. You could follow her on Instagram and Facebook at Gina Brillion. And there's Jaden. He's coming back.
How
say goodbye to everybody.
Come to see this face. Hi.
Is the surprise? Are you going
to the show?
Is he going to do a set?
Yeah, he's going to open with five guys.
Okay.
He's going to close my set.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week with Pete Carelli. Act right. Get your tickets. We'll see you then. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.